Church, would you join me as we look to God in prayer? Lord, we just pray on this Pentecost Sunday, may your Holy Spirit pour now. Fill our hearts, Lord, with joy. Fill our hearts with gratitude. And Lord, allow us to hear your words so clearly. And may your word just bring that transformation in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Man, as our sister Sasha has mentioned, today is Pentecost Sunday, and typically we celebrate Pentecost Sunday for two reasons. And firstly, to remember the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the disciples in the early church in Acts chapter 2. The second reason is to remind us who the Holy Spirit is, its role, and also for the church to continue to rely on the Holy Spirit. Sadly, today the Holy Spirit is so misunderstood and unappreciated and ignored, if not even neglected, member of the triune God. Think about it. When was the last time you did a study on the Holy Spirit? We place a lot of emphasis on the study of God the Father and God the Son. Nothing wrong with that, but we have so neglected the understanding of the Holy Spirit. And when was the last time we prayed to the Spirit? Or do we even know that we can pray in the Spirit? And when was the last time you sought the Lord and relied on the Holy Spirit for perhaps a decision, a work decision, or maybe a personal decision that you have to make? Or maybe a decision for the family. When was the last time we relied on the Holy Spirit? It was Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, who said, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without wind. We are useless. Think of the Holy Spirit as the oxygen in the air. You can't see it, but you know it's there. Without oxygen, it takes 30 to 180 seconds for a person to lose consciousness. And without oxygen, it takes 4 to 6 minutes before death occurs. So no matter how robust or how tough we may be, we can't, my dear friends, survive. We can't survive without the oxygen. And just as we will struggle and die spiritually without the Holy Spirit. I hope in the next few minutes share with you three reasons why we need the Holy Spirit. And I'll briefly talk about how we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. So why do we need the Holy Spirit? Firstly, to be a disciple of a certain kind. Passage that was just read for us from Ephesians chapter 5, Paul reminded the church in verse 8 to 9, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. Friends, we are people who are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we have been set apart as children of our Heavenly Father. We are called to be different. We are meant to be different. And we have to understand that we are called to become disciples of a certain kind. Ephesians 5, Paul spelled out what it means to be disciples of a certain kind. They are imitators of Christ. They overcome the power of sin and immorality. They live in obedience to the truth of God. They constantly discern what is pleasing to the Lord. They live righteously from the inside out. They live wisely, making the best use of time, and they worship God and glorify Him as a community. This is what we are meant to be, my friends, disciples of a certain kind. There's often this misconception that our conversion, God will suddenly bang and transform each one of us to be the kind of disciples. We think of God as a production line, you know, and we are the product. Bang, 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 stamp, 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 and then, boom, you know, we had the right kind of disciples. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way, my dear friends. To be disciples of a certain kind is a process. A process where the Holy Spirit brings about the change and the transformation in our lives from the inside out to make us authentic and real. Sadly, we have tried to become true and authentic with our own strength and understanding. We've been working on our own. We have been trying so hard. We have attended courses. We have tried on our own strength to become the kind of disciples that we read in the scriptures. But we can't, my dear friends. We will fail without the Holy Spirit. As a result, we are still living in constant misery and guilt. We regret that we are powerless in overcoming sins, temptation, immorality, evil desires, and unkind thoughts. And we continue to display temperaments and behaviors that displeases God our Father. And we are constantly having to put up this front, this facade, this mask that we have to wear whenever we come to church on Sunday sometimes, so that we will look okay, spiritually okay on the outside, but deep inside our heart, we are so spiritually empty. We are called to be disciples of a certain kind, my dear friends. And it was for this reason that our Lord Jesus Christ gave us the third person of Triune God. And in John chapter 14, 16, our Lord described why he has given us the Holy Spirit. Because of time, I'm not able to unpack John 14 and 16 for you. I hope today when you get back home, please read John 14 and 16 to understand why our Lord gave us the Holy Spirit. And this is important, my dear friends, because without the Holy Spirit, the church is powerless. And for us, my dear friends, without the Holy Spirit, we are unable to fulfill our potential and purpose in life, whether in church or outside the church. Simply because without the Holy Spirit, we are not transformed, we are not changed to be able to bring the maximum impact in our community, in our workplace, in our schools, in our homes. Without the Holy Spirit, we are powerless. We are like ships without the wind. And I'm certain that none of us here have chosen to follow our Lord Jesus Christ and are yet satisfied with a life that's of no difference from our past. You'll be sad if we are satisfied with the current state of our spiritual life, because God has given us the Holy Spirit to bring that transformation, the change, so that we can be more like Christ. We are called to be disciples of a certain kind, to be true and authentic. And to do so, we need the Holy Spirit. And secondly, we need the Holy Spirit to be effective witnesses for Jesus Christ. Today, we tend to rely more on evangelism strategy and tools. We somehow seem to have relied less on the Holy Spirit. Now, please understand, I'm not against evangelism tools like Alpha Course. In fact, I'm a very strong supporter of Alpha Course, and I've been involved with the Alpha Course and the ministry of Alpha since the 90s. But I'm concerned, my friends. I'm concerned how often we make the Holy Spirit take a back seat. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. You know, look at this, all this that we have arranged. And please pop out, you know, just in case if we need you. But otherwise, please sit back and enjoy the show. Is that how, my dear friends, we treat the Holy Spirit? In our outreaches, in our evangelism, in reaching out to our friends, our personal friends. We need the Holy Spirit for all our personal and corporate evangelism because our Lord has given us this power. In Acts 1:8, He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus has given us this divine power for the purpose of His global redemption work. And you will realize that in Scripture, the Holy Spirit is the only tool that He has given to us for His for this work of evangelism and outreach. And the rest comes to support the tools and the strategy comes to support the work of the Holy Spirit. The early church had relied on this divine power of the Holy Spirit in all their witnessing for Jesus Christ. Let me just quote some examples for you. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preached, repent and be baptized. And those who received his word were baptized and were added that day about 3,000 souls. And later in chapter 2, Acts, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And the early church were able to see the phenomenal growth because they had relied on the power of the Holy Spirit to witness to their community. And this redemption work of the Holy Spirit was accompanied by many miraculous signs in the early church as well. The sick were healed, those in bondage set free. In fact, in Acts chapter 19, let me just cite this example for you. Even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched Paul were carried away to the sick and their disease left them and evil spirits came out of them. How amazing! Even when aprons or handkerchiefs touch Apostle Paul, and when the handkerchiefs were brought to people who were sick, the sick were healed and the demon possessed were set free. Wow, my friends. And I'm sure we have the desire that God will continue to do the same today. Amen. I have the privilege of witnessing firsthand the divine power of the Holy Spirit at work in the mission field, particularly in Nepal. And besides the amazing number of conversions that takes place, we witness the miraculous power of God at work in bringing healings and in setting captives free and in drawing people into the kingdom of God. And each time when this takes place, it was ordinary members like you and I who exercised the gift that God has given to them. They trusted God in bringing the healing power and grace upon the people who comes. The lame walk, the blind see, and those in bondage being set free because the people believe. And I urge you, my dear friends, we must not be ashamed to ask God for that divine power. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit that I may be effective in reaching out to my loved ones, to my colleagues. Lord, I really do not know how to close this deal, to share the gospel. This colleague is so difficult. Lord, empower me with your Holy Spirit. Open the door of his heart that I may reach out to the person. We need, my friends, to ask God for that divine power that we may be effective witnesses for Christ and to witness the works of the Holy Spirit in drawing people into the kingdom of God and the powerful miracles taking place. Sick healed, marriage restored, those in bondage being set free. Thirdly, we need the Holy Spirit because of the urgency of time. Paul cautioned the church in Ephesus in verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Paul contrasts being filled with the Spirit with getting drunk with wine. Was Paul against drinking? No. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, he encouraged Timothy to drink wine to treat his stomach ailment. But as you read Ephesians chapter 5, particularly from verses 16 to 18, you will understand the logic of Paul's argument. Allow me to just summarize it for you, the key points. So Paul is basically saying the days are evil, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and to do so, to understand what the will of the Lord is, do not get drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. Why was Paul so concerned about the people getting drunk? And to understand Paul's concern, we need to understand the city Ephesus. Ephesus was then the busiest and the most important trading hub in the ancient world. And because of its unique position and place as an international trading hub, it became the most important financial center in the world. They were extremely successful, they were extremely rich and extremely prosperous. Very much like us here in Singapore. So Paul was concerned that the young church in Ephesus was consumed by their success in life and had failed to recognize the urgency of the time. For the days were filled with evil. And in many ways, as we reflect on the time that we are in right now, you will agree with me that we are living in days that are filled with so much evil. And sadly, wealth and affluence led to the downfall of the church in Ephesus. As we will find out in Revelation chapter 2, our Lord Jesus rebuked the church in Ephesus some 35 years after Paul wrote this letter to the church to warn them. And our Lord Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, I know your works, your toil, your patience, endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil and have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not and found them to be false. And I know you are enduring patiently, bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But listen to this, verse 4. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Was the church in Ephesus dead? No. Quite obviously, verses 1 and 3 tells us that the church in Ephesus was still alive, but they have grown spiritually cold. Do we realize, my dear friends, the urgency of the time? And have we abandoned our first love? It was no wonder, as we read the words in Ephesians, Paul warned the church and reminded them very clearly, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. My dear friends, the church today is in trouble. Church today is in trouble because we are running on spiritual empty. We are dry. We are void of an active spiritual life because we have lost touch with the dynamic presence and power of the Holy Spirit. We're no longer depending and relying on the Holy Spirit. Some of us don't even know what the Holy Spirit is. And I want to say to you, we are unable to face the cruel challenges of this world because it's so filled with evil unless we are clothed and filled with the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit, my friends, if we want to see true revival taking place in our church. We need the Holy Spirit if we want to see transformation and change in our lives from the inside out, to live out what God truly wants us to be, disciples of a certain kind. We can't do it on our own. We need the Holy Spirit to bring about this work, this change in us and through us and into the community. The Holy Spirit played an important role in the life and ministry of the early church. And we need to continue to allow the Holy Spirit to do so even today. Interestingly, the verb be filled in Greek is present imperative tense, which means we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit regularly and continuously for the rest of our earthly lives. God is calling us to trust in the Holy Spirit. Why do we need to be regularly and continuously filled with the Holy Spirit for the rest of our lives? Let me illustrate this way. Like a gasoline car, we need to refuel whenever the tank is running on empty, right? Except that now you have to pay $3.50 or more per liter. But God has given us the Holy Spirit as a gift to us that we may be filled so that we are able to see the change and transformation in our church, in our individual lives, in our families, in our workplace, and in our community. To be regularly and continuously filled with the Spirit is also an act which requires us to run back to our source of life, Jesus Christ, to ask Him to fill us. This is an act of obedience. This is an act of faith. This is also an act of dependence, where we see God pouring out His grace upon grace in us. And as vessels that leaks, we know we need this power that God has given us to us to bring about what is necessary that we may live out a true and authentic faith for our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Two things. Believe and ask. Bishop Rennis was here last weekend and he preached on John chapter 7. And here, let me read for you. Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And he's referring to the Holy Spirit. To believe. That's all that is needed, my dear friends, for us to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. And He will pour out His Spirit upon us. And of course, to believe, it leads us to repentance. It leads us to walking right to God. And what is also needed is for us to have that desire in our hearts for the Holy Spirit to bring about the change and the transformation. Secondly, to ask. In Luke chapter 11, our Lord Jesus mentioned, "What father among you, if his sons ask for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Ask. Ask. That's all that is needed for us to ask our Heavenly Father for the Holy Spirit. To believe and to ask. I'm going to ask the worship team, Sasha, to come. In a short while, I just want to lead you in a prayer. And I want to say this to us. The Holy Spirit wants to bring us into a deeper and intimate relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And you can experience the fullness of life only if you are filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask Shasha to lead us in this song. And as the song is being sung, as you are seated wherever you are, if it helps you, you can close your eyes. We're going to ask the Lord in faith, Lord, clothe me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I will give you more instructions later and also lead us in prayer. Without the Holy Spirit, we are powerless. We are unable to work with our own strength to overcome all the challenges in our lives. We are unable to bring about the transformation that God desires to see in us. We are unable to bring an impact to our community and the place that God has placed us to be. We need the Holy Spirit. I want to invite you this morning, if you are sensing that God is just saying to you, yes, that you, if you have the desire this morning to say, yes, Lord, please fill me with the Holy Spirit, I want to invite you to stand. You don't have to worry about the people beside you and who is standing and not. This is between you and God. If this is your desire, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Please stand wherever you are. I'm just going to pray for you and pray for God's outpouring of His Holy Spirit on you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to ask the service team and the leaders, if you could just go around and lay hands on those who are around you. We're going to sing this song just one more time. And then after that, I will pray for you. Praise you. Praise you.
Together.
This is our desire for you to fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, that we may continue to walk a righteous and a life that truly glorifies you. This is our desire, Lord, to be true imitators of Christ. to be authentic in our faith. This is our desire, Lord, to allow your Holy Spirit to bring about the renovation, the change, the transformation in our lives. So God, we open our heart to you right now. Pour out, Lord, your Holy Spirit afresh on each one of us, we pray. Help us, Lord, to navigate this journey of our life, not on our own, but, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. And please be seated at the end of the service. If you need more prayer for those, the service team be ready to minister to you. God bless you.